Check, check. Whoa.
Check, 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 check. Check, check, check. Check, check. Hello? Check, check. Check. Check, check. Check. Check, check.
Yeah, it was somehow everything got turned up on the guitar in that channel 3. It's the when you go to bus 1 and not 9 to 16.
The perfect Lamb of God between a broken hearted mother at his feet, the pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, darkness falls, the Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me. For me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory, bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You want it all for me. For me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. thank you for the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We say thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Holman Beach Church. We're glad you're here with us. My name is Jason. I'm honored and privileged to be the pastor at Holman Beach Church. And as we like to say, welcome home. This is a grace place. We're so glad to have you here. We truly believe that God has brought you here, that you're a gift of God, and we want to be able to honor that gift here. And so in your worship folder is a little connection card, a little green card, if you could be so kind to fill it out. Love to be able to recognize you with us. And if you're online today, love to be able to recognize you there. Just kind of post on the Facebook or let us know that you're checking in with us. We really care and thankful for that. As we gather here in our grace place, there's no judgment zone. We are gathering and around the God and His Word, and the Word that's given by the prophet Hosea. And Hosea is probably not a prophet you've turned to often, but what we've discovered, it has incredible depth for us today. And is still speaking today to us about the love of God and how and expanding our heart maybe for what God is about and what He's called us and what it means to be His child. And so we pray and encourage you to lean into that as we lean into His love today. And so with that, we invite you, if you want to rise, as we join worship together with a word of prayer. God, we thank you that, you come into our lives. You call on us to come. And sometimes those calls is where we're ready, and sometimes we're not. But yet, you are gracious. You're a God of love, a God of pursuit. It continues to call us to your incredible love and to you, that we may deepen our walk with you and have the joy of what it is to be walking with you and know you. And so, God, I pray that we just lean into you to know you more today, that you would fill our hearts, awaken them to your amazing love and grace, and to the joy it is to be your child. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But He came and He died and He rose. Those walls are rumble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But He came and He died and He rose. those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But He heard every word, every whisper. Now those jolters in the wilderness tell the story of His faithfulness. Never once did He fail, and He never will. This is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That You would take my place. That You would bear my cross. You laid down Your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that You've done for me. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That You would take my place. That You would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the sun a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations in truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Oh, you laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Thank you for the love, that sacrifice, the blood. Without it, we'd be lost. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Yeah. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Jesus, you laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. It is grace to be out here, isn't it? And it's beautiful creation. You may be seated. Our family had a code phrase. If one of our kids ever found themselves somewhere where they shouldn't be, if the night got out of control, or that fear kind of crept in, or they suddenly realized, man, I don't belong here, they could call in one simple sentence. Is Grandma at the home yet? That's what it was. That's it. No interrogation. No lecture. No delay. We wouldn't say, we would say, stay where you are. We're coming. Or come home since Grandma's here. Because when your child is in trouble, the first priority is not discipline. It's proximity. You can deal with the consequences later. You cannot fix what happens if they stay where they are and they get hurt. And here's what I want you to hear before we go any further. God has a code phrase too. And it's return. Come. Not when you're cleaned up. Not when you figured it all out. Not when you feel spiritual again. Just come home. And Hosea is not speaking to unbelievers or pagans. He's speaking to people who know the songs, who know the prayers, who still know their identity. But somewhere along the way, their hearts drifted. And maybe that's more dangerous distance than we think. Not rebellion, but drift. And into that drift, God does not thunder destruction. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. That is not weakness. That is covenant love, hesed. And that is why we need this word today. We, you and I, who bear the name children of God, do not need better strategies. We just need to come home. God knows the trouble. And at the cross, he dealt with it. And what he desires now is not your performance, but for you to come home. And so let's look at this word from Hosea. It's in your outline. From Hosea chapter 6, 1 to 3, and then we're going to jump to 14, 1 to 2. It says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, that he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains the water, the earth. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity except what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Number one, the invitation that interrupts. See, there's two kinds of distances from God. There is the loud kind, the rebellious, the open wandering, the obvious sin. And probably what comes to mind quickly, if we think about stories in the Bible, would be the prodigal son. Very obvious. But there's a distance that's rather the quiet kind. It's religious activity with a drifting heart. Worship attendance with spiritual fatigue, orthodoxy without intimacy, duty without delight. It's the other son, the older son in the prodigal story that gets overlooked. It's the one that's passive, passive-aggressive, and bitter. No matter what, both lead to bondage. Just one is easier to conceal. And so Hosea is speaking to that second kind. Israel was not atheist. They know their identity, their religion. They were unfaithful. They had not abandoned religion, but they had abandoned the Lord. They are lukewarm, giving lip service to God while their hearts are devoted to the world. And so you expect, especially in the mind of Old Testament, that kind of distance to God, you would expect judgment. And yet, what do we see here? You get invitation. Hosea 6:1 again. And into this condition comes a starting invitation. Come, let us return to the Lord. Notice God does not say, return once you feel bad enough. He says, return. It is his initiative to us. He is initiating this relationship to us again. And this tells us something rather foundational about God. God's first move towards sinners is not abandonment. Hey, you're too much trouble. You're a headache. You're a pain. I'm done with you. No, it's a summons to his very presence. But if we're going to get to hear the comfort, we must not soften the diagnosis. Because the invitation only makes sense when we understand the wound. Number two, the wound that reveals. Hosea calls out this reality of faith. He says, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. That word to our ears almost sounds like a foreign language. The God we know says, love you, inspires us, makes us feel good, says you're okay, I will bless you, and you'll have more stuff to make your life filled with joy and ease. The tearing is not cruelty. The tearing is clarity. God is like a master surgeon who is cutting away the cancer within for us to heal. And so when the idols fail you, that is mercy. When the sin leaves you empty, that is mercy. When self-sufficiency collapses, that is mercy. See, if God left you drift without any consequences, that would be judgment. If he disrupts you, he confronts you, he unsettles you, that is love. Hebrews 12:6a says, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. Perhaps some of you feel unsettled right now. That may not be a coincidence. The tearing that's going on in your life is not to destroy you. It is to detach you from what is destroying you. And more often than not, it's a painful time of waiting on the Lord, sitting in the muck, while his discipline brings our heart, our devotion, back to him. I realize this doesn't fit our very comfort-driven spirituality, but it fits Scripture. It fits the way God actually saves sinners. And yet we resist discipline. We prefer momentum, growth, affirmation, celebration. But without repentance, churches don't go deeper, they go hollow. This discipline's not forever, though, and it has a purpose. And that purpose is to lead us to new life. Number three, the resurrection is not a metaphor. He says in Isaiah 6:2, he says, after 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day, he'll raise us up that we may live before him. This is not some poetic optimism. This is prophetic certainty. Israel could not raise itself. It could not revive itself. You and I cannot revive and raise ourselves. The church cannot program revival into existence. Dead hearts do not self-erect. But on the third day, Christ walked out of tomb, not metaphorically, not spiritually, but physically and historically, irreversibly. And here's the heart of it. Hosea spoke of us, and Jesus fulfilled it himself. He is torn, so we are healed. He is struck down, so we are bound up. He is raised, so we are raised with him. The third day, Jesus becomes a third day for every sinner who returns. Christianity is not advice on how to climb back to God. It's an announcement that God descended to death, crushed it, and walked about out with the keys. You're not coming home to try harder. You're coming home to live with the living God, Christ himself, who's already secured your place in the home. See, the resurrection means this. There's no distance too far. No sin too heavy. No drift too quiet. Because death itself could not hold him. If death enough cannot hold him, then neither can your guilt, your drift, your shame, or your past hold you. But before the resurrection can comfort us, sin must be named. Number four, why we must return. Hosea 14:1 says, return, and then it goes on, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Notice Hosea doesn't leave room for excuses. We can't blame it on stress, trauma, a misunderstanding, our spouse, or even a cat. We stumble because of iniquity. Sin is not a weakness. It's a selfish revolt against the holy God Almighty and our Father in heaven. It's us choosing autonomy over trust, control over surrender. Me over thee. And the tragedy is not only that we rebel, is that we become enslaved to what we have chosen. I mean, think about it. We bristle when our children ignore us, dismiss us, or use us only when they need something. And yet, how often do we treat the Father the same way? God is the emergency room. We run to, then we get better, and then we go away. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Coming home begins with naming it. We have wanted our own way, and here is where the gospel becomes a little offensive here. See, you can't fix this on your own. You can't outgrow it. You can't manage it. No matter how many coaches and counselors you have, you cannot compensate for it. Not even with church activities. You must return. And when you do, here's what Hosea says. Number 5, bring words of confession. Bring words of confession. It says, let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. See, if we're going to truly know the Lord, we're going to need to press in on Him and not on ourselves, and humble ourselves so we see more of God and we get a greater understanding of who God is and what He's about as we return to Him and not return back to us. So in verse 2, he says, take with you words and return to the Lord. Take with you words, not excuses, not explanations, not comparisons, your words, your confession. See, this is where pride dies. Confession is not an emotional drama. It's agreement with God. I was wrong. You were right. And this is the doorway. And so, as Isaiah says, tell him, take away all iniquity. Take away all my sin. Say it. Proverbs 28 says, whoever conceals his transgressions, his sin, will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will attain what? Mercy. It's funny. We come to churches and we can argue about worship styles. We can critique the music. We can evaluate the preaching. But we rarely fall on our knees. See, the issue is not that style, not how I feel after the service. It's pride. The issue is not excellence. It's repentance. The words of confession to your sin. See, what does God desire more than a church have a crowd? A broken heart that knows and needs Him. Psalm 51:17, let's read together a memory verse. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. A contrite heart. A contrite heart is broken to the point that it now becomes in sync with God's word. and it realizes how far it's drifted, how far it's fallen, and the need, the poverty it has, and the need of God's grace and rescue and mercy. But don't get mistaken, confession doesn't earn mercy. Confession receives it. God is ready to give as we return to Him. And then Jesus speaks these words, number 6, hear words of life. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is not a cattle call, but an intensely personal call. Come to me. Hosea says, return. And Jesus says, come. Come to the Father. The burden he addresses is not just, hey, life is stressful. No, it is a burden of sin. The burden of trying to justify yourself. The burden of trying to prove your worth to you, to the world, or to God. The burden of religious performance. And here's the scandal. He does not say, prove yourself worthy. He simply says, come. And so when he says come, it doesn't mean come when you feel strong, come when you got your life together, come when you're consistent, when you feel sincere in your coming, that maybe you'll be accepted. No, he simply says, come simply as you are. Come. Which leads us to the cross. Number 7, the exchange you cannot manufacture. You cannot manufacture this. Matthew 11, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke joins two together. In this yoke, Christ carries what you and I cannot carry. He carries the law's demand. He carries your guilt and shame. He carries the wrath that you and I earned. And at the cross, the full weight of that rebellion, it did not get minimized, but it got punished on Jesus. And this is why Jesus says, it is finished. Finished means finished. The debt is not negotiable, but the debt is canceled. Colossians, Paul writes, cancel the record of debt, nailing it where? To the cross, on Christ. That is objective truth. You understand? If forgiveness is objective, then the return is not about negotiating terms with God, or if I feel forgiven or not. It is in Christ you are. You are forgiven. It's about receiving what's already been accomplished. Which means the hesitation that we tend to feel needs to be confronted. Number 8, why we hesitate. Still yet, many will hesitate. Many will sit here and say, I'm glad he's talking about somebody else and not me today. Because we are prideful. And we like to deflect. We like to try to protect ourselves. Some of you have been wandering. Some of you are weary. Some of you serve faithfully. And yet your heart is far. Because somewhere along the way, this duty that was a delight turned into an obligation. And now your obedience feels heavy. And I know. Because I feel it too. So let me challenge you gently but clearly. Drifting really announces itself. In fact, drifting often feels like maturity. At first. Then it becomes numb. And then it becomes a quiet resentment. And our heart starts to pull away while we still do activities. And then it becomes anger. See, the call is not to try harder. The call is to return. It's not to church programs, but to Christ, the first love, to the God who saves you and continues to save you. This is not about a spiritual self-improvement or emotional encouragement. It's about this proclamation that Christ has lived the obedience you fail to live. Christ has died the death you deserve to die. And Christ has risen secure, which you can never earn. So in Christ, your iniquity is removed. In Christ, your debt is canceled. In Christ, the Father does not just tolerate you. He delights in you. In Christ, you're not trying to get home. You are home. So rest. Rest in His grace and mercy. Let Him bind you. Let Him revive you, restore you. So number 9, the call today is to return home. Grandma's at the house. It's time to come home. So hear this. If you are wandered, Christ has sought you. If you have stumbled, Christ has carried you. If you have sinned, Christ has borne it. If you're weary, Christ is your rest. Your iniquity is not pending review. It's been nailed to a cross. Your condemnation is not suspended. It has been removed. Your place in the Father's house is not probationary. It's secured by the blood of the Son who sealed it in the empty tomb. So in Christ. So in Christ, your sins are forgiven. So in Christ, your debt is canceled. So in Christ, the Father revives you. So in Christ, you're not trying to get home. You are home. Welcome home. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us in a distance that we created. That you, when we drifted, you didn't watch us go and say, oh, well, I guess I got caught up in the current. But you called us back. And so right now, we stop making excuses. We stop blaming our schedules, our stress, and our past. And we bring you our words. We agree with the diagnosis. We have stumbled in our iniquity. We have preferred our own ways over yours. So I give you a moment to just bring your words to God. Thank you, Father, that because of the cross, the code phrase stays. Come, return. And we say, you say we are home. Thank you that the third day has already come. Because Jesus was torn for us, we are healed. Because He was struck down, we are bound up. Rising us up now to live before you, not in an exaltation of religion or performance, but in the joy of your covenant love. Let this not just be a sermon we heard, but a homecoming we experience, Lord. We experience because your amazing grace. And so we call upon you, Lord, in the prayer that you taught us together. that we lift out the petitions, trusting as your children that you hear our prayer and answer them. Because you are the one who walked out of the grave. You're the one that conquered all. And you're the one who has called us and made us your own. So together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as his children have come home, there's nothing more to just say but thanks. And you realize that it's all because of God the Father, what we have, the life he's given us, and the fact that he gave his son. And that just brings an answer response to say, God, your amazing love and grace, I love you back. That I want to trust you more than anything else and trust your ways. And so in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope for us to bring our tithes and offerings. You can use the text or go on the website, helpingthebeach.com. But we do that because we realized, man, we honor God with money that's keeping our heart from drifting. Because where that money goes is where our heart goes. And we say, God, we want to invest you in first and foremost because you invested us with your first and best, your son Jesus. And we want our heart and lives to be aligned to your word, to you, so we never drift again. It's also in your worship folder. It's an opportunity that you can respond to God's grace in life. If you turn the back side, if you may fill the front, turn the back to share how you, if you want to help us, we can help you grow. There's be baptism or devotions, or maybe, hey man, I'm just new to this faith. I would love to get my hands on how to really walk with Jesus. That's a discipleship training options there for. I have some opportunities to connect. Just bring you up to the night of worship that's coming up. I'm just been praying about that night. It's a simple night of worship and prayer and just some reading of scripture and just letting, sitting and resting in God, letting him speak as we seek him as a church and our needs and as individuals. And so, especially if you need prayer, it's a great time to come. We love to pray over you. So come for the meal, come and just worship. If you can help out, it'd be awesome. We got some opportunities to do that as we gather. But I just really want to encourage that night and also the other events going on. And then you'd love to plan to help out. There's some service opportunities from the shells and getting ready for Easter, as you'll see more things for Easter coming up. And then also for those who would help prepare meals for youth, that is awesome gift as they have that. Man, that gift of food is just like tells those kids, welcome home. You're wanted here. That there's people besides the people in this room who want you to be here, to be loved on by the leaders and by the Lord as they share his love through their service and also through the word. And so with that, as the ushers come around, as we stand up for the last song, they will come around and receive those connection cards and the offering. You can put those in the bucket. And if you like prayer after the service, I'm available. We have some other leaders here available for you. We'd love to be able to connect. And thanks again for coming and joining for this time to be with the Lord.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leave the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. You know, as we go through our daily walk and our weekly walk and our yearly walk, I think sometimes we forget that God loves us unconditionally. If you're in that place today, I encourage you to believe it. He loves you. And it's not reckless, it's intentional. He loves you unconditionally. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Do you believe it? No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No stiles you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So as you go today, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. See you next week.